Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you today and to continue our series, Crushing It. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was watching a documentary about the Gothenburg Greats. Now, if you're an Aberdeen fan watching today, there will be a smile on your face right away. Just when I mention the word Gothenburg, you'll be getting excited. And for me, it was really, really interesting. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not an Aberdeen fan. But I was interested because this happened before I was even born. And it was interesting to hear all the different players tell their version of events and their experiences throughout. But also to relive those moments of victory. Those moments when Aberdeen beat Bayern Munich at Pittodrie. And then when they qualified to get to the final in Gothenburg to play Real Madrid. No, not just any team, but the Real Madrid. And when they got there, they were surrounded by so many fans, so many people from the Northeast were there to cheer on their team. And then there was that diving header, which they still celebrate and still go on about, even 40 years later. But what an incredible achievement it was. And it was so memorable because it was so unlikely that a team from Scotland, Aberdeen, could take on the mighty Real Madrid and win the European trophy. Now, wouldn't it be great if Willie Miller was in all our teams, not only playing the match, but refereeing the match at the same time? Wouldn't it be great, though, that if you went through life, not just in your own strength, but you went through life knowing that there was someone on your team, someone who was with you, someone who was with you that made the difference, that when you face challenges in life, you were not alone. There was somebody there to help you. And I guess in life, just like Aberdeen on that night in May in 1983, when the odds were stacked against them, when it seemed unlikely, that the manager of Real Madrid reflected on what had just happened, and he commented that it was the team spirit that Aberdeen had that allowed them to win the trophy on that night. What do you do when you face overwhelming circumstances, when you face something that is, the odds are stacked against you in life, when it feels like there's no hope, when it feels like it's impossible? What do you do? Well, in the Old Testament, we read a scripture that was given, it was a prophetic word that was given through the prophet Zechariah to those who were rebuilding the temple at that time. The temple had been in ruins and it was the task of the people to build it up from the ashes, and it was a huge task. And he'd encourage them to not give up in building that temple, but also to remind them that that temple would not be built through the force of human hands, of the power of a mighty army, but it would be by the Spirit of God. This is the word that he spoke to them. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And just like today, God's temple, you know, believer, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you are the temple of God. And as we come together as a church, we are his temple. And we are not sustained and we are not strengthened through things in this life, through numbers or wealth or collection of people. No, we are strengthened by the Spirit of God that is within us. And friend, today, if you are facing overwhelming situation, the Spirit of God is with you. That's why today we celebrate and remember Pentecost, when a small group of 120 people, fearful people, were gathered together in that room. And in that moment, the promise of the Father was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit was given in that moment, and each one was empowered. Each one received power to be an effective witness to go into this world. And now today, the church is spread throughout the whole globe, even here in Peterhead. And it all began in that upper room. It seemed an impossible task, but the Spirit of God was with them, and he is with you today. Well, last week we looked at an incredible character in that Old Testament by the name of Gideon. And we looked at how God came to him, even in his weakness, and allowed his strength to work through him. And we come to this point today in our story where now is the time when God is going to deliver Israel from their enemies, the Midianites. A huge army they were up against. A small army of Israel. But God was with them. And the story we find in Judges chapter 7 begins with this when the Lord comes to Gideon and gives him an interesting bit of advice, an instruction actually. He says, you've got too many men. Your army is too big. And he will not deliver the Midianites into their hands, or Israel will boast against me, saying, my own strength has saved me. No, just last Sunday at our youth group, we had a quiz night. And we were broken up into little groups of five or six. And an adult was put with every group. And the group I was with, our group, we received a handicap. We got points taken off of our team before we even started so that there wasn't an unfair advantage, the pastor being on their team. Well, we were given a 5-point deduction, but we still won with an overwhelming victory. But we did drop 3 points. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit annoyed about those 3 points that we dropped. But just here in this story, that Israel's army were already handicapped. There were 32,000 people in Israel, but there were 135,000 in Midian's army. But God continues to strip them back. Too many men in an army usually isn't a problem. Too many people in an army is usually a good thing. It's usually the more strength that we have, the greater our chances is. But actually, we are part of a kingdom which is different to this kingdom in this world. See, our natural culture would say that we should be self-sufficient, so we need to make sure we've got all we need now so that we are in a position of strength for what's going to come. But actually, the kingdom of God's culture is, no, we need to completely rely on the King and on God. You see, self-sufficiency denies our need for God in our lives. It's when we think we can live without God. We rely on ourselves. We rely on ourselves for everything. That it's up to us. That we've got to figure it out. That we've got to be the solution. That our success is down to us. Self-sufficiency is actually an enemy, because it can cause us to believe that we always have what we need so that we can do everything in our own strength. But God calls us to lay down everything and to rely on him. See, you cannot save yourself. You cannot rescue yourself. Until you acknowledge that you need someone to come and rescue you from your sin, from your life, from your selfishness, you'll never be able to save yourself. You'll never be able to do your best. Your best efforts will never save you from the life of sin. And the Bible teaches that we needed a Savior, that we needed someone to come and rescue us. That's why Jesus came. He came to be your Savior. And until you acknowledge that, you're going to live your life like you're your Savior. But you can try all you like, but you're never going to be able to save yourself. We cannot be self-sufficient. We have to rely on someone who we can depend upon at all times, and his name is Jesus. He is our Savior. And we see this here in Gideon's story, that for him to be in no doubt that the victory was not from him, but it was from God, God would get all the credit and he would get all the glory, he strips back the army to such a small number that it would be impossible for Israel to defeat the Midianites by themselves. And does exactly the same in our lives. So that we don't rely on ourselves, God will remove or shake those things that we are putting our trust in. Things that we are relying on when we should be relying on God. I wonder today, is God stripping back something from you? Is he stripping away? Is he reducing? Is he pruning? Is he sifting you and molding you in this time? Maybe you feel like you're going through a time like that, where it seems like people are walking away. It seems like things are getting harder. Could it be that maybe God is just preparing you and positioning you so that he can do a work through you and he will get all the glory? That you will be so sure that it had to be the Lord, that it had to be him that gave you the victory. See, that's what God does. He purifies us. He removes the unnecessary, the unhelpful, and the unholy for our lives to prepare us so that we are ready for him to bring us the victory. Don't be surprised if God is stripping back to get you ready for the victory that he has for you. See, they were stripped back and they faced overwhelming odds. As I mentioned, their army had only 35,000 men and Midian had 135,000. And if I'm being honest, I would be looking for more soldiers, not less. I would be looking for some more help. I'd be looking to recruit some more people. But not with God. God's ways are not like our ways. His kingdom culture is not like our earthly assumptions. When it looks like the odds are overwhelming against you, that doesn't mean that it's too hard for God. The overwhelming odds help us to see how great God's power and strength is. You see, we may be facing overwhelming odds, but believer, you can have the overcoming spirit work within you. You can have the spirit of an overcomer. During that documentary that I mentioned about the Gothenburg team, it was interesting that the manager, Sir Alex Ferguson, he had to instill within the team this belief that when they went to play their biggest rivals in Glasgow, that being Glasgow Rangers and another team, that they had to have this mentality that together as a team, they could go to Glasgow and they could win. But it wasn't in their individual abilities, it was in the ability of the team. And he instilled this within them. And they began to go on this amazing run of beating Celtic, not once but twice in a short period of time, that really set them off on their course to victory. And they had that sense within them that we can do this. And it's so important that we recognize that we can do this. Not in ourselves, but that there is a team. There is someone in our team. There's someone who is with us. We've got to recognize the danger of just relying on ourselves and in our strength and our abilities, what will only really lead to pride and failure, but realize there's someone with us. See, in chapter 6, we read about how Gideon was given an instruction to cut down the idol that was in his father's possession. There was a big idol, a Baal worship, that was a foreign worship. It was idolatry. And he was fearful, and at nighttime, when nobody could see him, he went and cut down that idol. Even though he was fearful, he still obeyed God. And then later it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Something was different about Gideon now. See, he began to obey God. He began to remove things from his life. He stripped away the idolatry, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The spirit of an overcomer. The spirit of someone who is not limited by what we see in this world when things seem to be stacked up against us. There was something now upon him that he was able to do more than he even realized. And Gideon is different. He can be confident of victory only when he put his confidence in God. You see, the Bible goes on in Judges chapter 7 and says once again that to get rid of more people in this army. And this is what he said. He said, announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear, they are to turn and leave. And in that moment, they went from 22,000 men, sorry, from 32,000 men to 10,000 men. 22,000 men were fearful and they left. Gideon allows those that are fearful to go home. Two-thirds of that army left in that moment. They were the people who were relying on their own strength, who were not up for the fight. And their fear would not help Gideon, who was already fearful and needed encouragement. But now with the Spirit of the Lord upon him, Gideon needed people around him that were not fearful, but were faithful so that he could flourish. 10,000 men had faith that they could overcome the enemy. And in overwhelming times, you need to surround yourself with people that are faith-filled, people that have faith in God. People that even though they see the overwhelming odds, they still believe. In those moments, less is more. You need less people that are full of faith rather than more people that are filled with fear. And the army is reduced, and now there are 10,000 people who believe that they can overcome their enemy. And in our lives, we need to be wise about the people that we surround ourselves with. Get around people that are faith-filled. Get around people that are willing to rely on God's strength. Get around people. And it's better to be around those people. A few faithful people is better than a whole army of fearful people. In fact, a fearful army is worse than a great army. A few with faith is better than a multitude with fear. See, that doesn't make sense in the natural, but with God, he's looking for faith. He isn't looking for people that are going to be consumed in their fear. Now, he's looking for people who maybe are fearful, but they're not going to allow their fear to hold them back. Just like Gideon, who was fearful of those who maybe would have saw him take down that idol, but he still did it. He still did it. And maybe you have got fears in your life, but there's something within you that's stirring up within you that even though you know the fears, you're willing to go ahead because God is with you. And you are in the majority. See, the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Now we've only got 10,000, but that was still too much. He said, take them down to the water and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go with you. God gives him a very interesting way to clearly see who's coming and who's not. When they get to the water, those who kneel have to go, but those who lap up the water and drink it like they're a dog, they are coming. Gideon was in no doubt who he needed to keep. And now they are reduced to 300 men. He started off with 32,000 and now he's 300. That's less than 1% of what he started with. But he was still in the majority. See, one with the Lord is the majority. That's what Martin Luther said. One with the Lord is a majority. Gideon had to let go of 99% of his army. And he had to release that, and all that he's left with is 1%. I wonder today, is there things in your life that you've got to let go of, that you have been putting your hope, you've been putting your confidence in, and it's maybe not harmful things, maybe not bad things, but actually, you need to let that go and depend 100% on the Lord. God gives Gideon the victory, but he handicaps him. Just like we were victorious in the quiz night. We were handicapped, but God gave us the victory. And just like in your life, you might feel that you're stripped back, you're on the back foot, you're reduced, you're handicapped. But God can still give you the victory because it's Him that is with you. And the Lord said to him in verse 8, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you. I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions of the and the trumpets from those who left. Don't hold on to that which you need to let go of. All you need to hold on to is the Lord. Everything else can go. And that is the moment when you do that, that you realize that you've went from self-sufficiency to completely dependent and relying on God. See, Gideon's army was too big, too many. And you can be too big for God to use you. So we see it here. It's God's like, I'm not using an army of 32,000 men because you're going to think that you've won the victory here. God is going to give the victory, so he takes them down to 300 men. And he shows us that you can never be too small for God to use you. And maybe you're watching me today and you feel like you are inferior. You feel like you're not enough. I'm too little. I'm not good enough. And you feel like you're too small for God to use you. Can I bring an encouragement to you today that with 1% of his army, with God on his side, he was victorious. And God can bring the victory in your life when you come to him and you admit your smallness and your limits, but you trust in his strength and you rely on his spirit. We read on and it says that during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianites' camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent turned and collapsed. An interesting dream, an interesting picture. Interesting that it's a barley loaf. Barley was the cheapest, if you like, grain. It seemed so insignificant that a loaf could overturn a tent, the tent that the Midianites would have lived in. They were nomadic people. And there was a clear picture and a clear word for Gideon that their weakness was going to overcome the perceived strength of their enemy. See, God understands Gideon's fears, and he gives him this opportunity to hear a word of encouragement from his enemy. And God understands his fears, but he doesn't excuse him from the task at hand. You know, what we learn here is that you can grow in faith. As you go, you grow in faith. See, the mistake that I think a lot of people have is that they think that God will give us the faith and then we'll be able to do what we need to do. But actually, it's as you go, God gives you the faith, God gives you the strength, God gives you the resource, God gives you the help. And he's just looking and waiting for you to obey the instruction that he's given you. And they overhear the words and the dream, and it's in that moment that Gideon has a realization that this is going to happen. And the Bible tells us in verse 15 that he bows down and he worships God. And he returns to the camp, the Israelites, the 300 men that are left, and tells them to get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. He has had a moment where he's heard the word of encouragement. After obeying the word of the Lord, he has worshipped God, and now he is ready for the fight. He's ready for the battle. And it's in these moments when you are weak that you lean into God, And through his word and through his encouragement and in his times of worship, you're ready for the battle. Faith is rising up. Faith is stirred in Gideon. And now he's telling other people not to be fearful, not about the challenge, but now he's telling them, come on, get up. Get up. Stop listening to the fears and listening to God. Worship him. And as you do so, your faith will be stirred up and you will believe that we can do this. You can do this. And that's what we read in verse 16. He divides the men into 300 men into three companies. And he placed a trumpet in one hand and an empty jar in the other hand with torches inside of them. And it's amazing that God gave them something that anybody could do. Anybody could handle a sword. Anybody could carry a jar with a torch in it. Everybody could do it. It didn't matter about your ability. It didn't matter about your strength. It was something that everyone could do. Everyone can do it. This is for everyone. God is only looking for you to do what you can do. He isn't looking for you to do the impossible. Leave that to him. He wants you to pick up the sword. He wants you to pick up the empty jar with a torch in it. And he wants you to smash the jar. He wants you to do something that you can do and trust him with what you cannot do. God gave them a task that anyone could do. And he's asking you to just trust him. And he asks you today not to rely on yourself, but to rely on him. Well, the three companies, they blow their trumpets and they smash their jars. And grasping their torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. This was the moment when God gave them the victory. It was at that moment when they smashed the jar and that flame of that torch was no longer hidden by the jar, but now was seen by everyone. What a scene, all those 300 torches burning brightly together. The sound of that trumpet being blown. The strength of that sword, 300 swords together. But it was the Lord that brought the Midianites to be confused and turn each other and to flee. The flame was no longer hidden. And today on Pentecost, we celebrate the promise of the Father. As Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he said to wait, because as the Father promised, he would send the Holy Spirit. And in that room of 120 people that were fearful, that didn't really know what was going to happen, as they gathered together, the Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit came, there were tongues of fire above every single person. The flame was no longer hidden. The flame was seen. And that fire burned within them. And that early church faced overwhelming odds. They would face persecution. They would face just an impossible task. How are we going to bring the good news from here in Jerusalem to the whole world? Talk about an impossible task. By ourselves, we would never manage. But with his help, with his Spirit within us, all things are possible. Friend, you're facing overwhelming odds in your life today. You know, believer, the Holy Spirit resides within you. And when you yield yourself and surrender your spirit to him, when you obey him, when you trust him, when you surrender to him and allow him to rule and reign in your life, that's when you move from self-sufficiency. And when you're depending completely on God, that's the place where you'll see the victory. Well, you're watching me today, and at the start I talked about our need for a Savior. I cannot be self-sufficient. That the issue that we all face of sin, all the things that we've done to offend God, every choice that we've made that did not please him, every sinful choice, everything that we have done, we need saved from that. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, the outcome of sin, is spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's our Savior. He comes into this world. He dies upon the cross. He lays down his life. He takes the punishment for our sin, pays the penalty, sheds his blood. So now we can be forgiven of our sin. Our Father will forgive us of all our sins, and he'll make us a new person by giving us the Holy Spirit. And now he helps us to live in victory every day. I wonder, you're watching me and you say, Daniel, I want to enter into that relationship. I need a save. I need to be saved. If that's you, just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I need a Savior because I am a sinner. I ask you to save me from my sins. I realize that when you died on the cross, you took my place. Father, forgive me of my sin. Put your Spirit within me, please. Make me into a new person. I believe that Jesus is my Lord and that he is risen from the dead. Help me to follow you every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please connect with us. We want to help you and grow, help you to grow in your journey. Friend, I just want to pray for one group of people today. You're watching me and you're facing overwhelming odds. Feels like you're up against Real Madrid. Feels like you've got a handicap. Feels like it's too much. Feels like your army is too small. Feels like it's just overwhelming. Well, I want to pray for you that you begin to walk in the truth, that you have the spirit of an overcomer. So Heavenly Father, I come against inferiority. I come against the self-sufficiency. And Father, I pray for those who are watching me that they would realize that you are with them, that you are in them, and you are for them. Lord, help them not to rely on themselves, but Lord, to be completely dependent upon you. Lord, we surrender all that we are holding on to and we release it to you. And Father, come and bring the victory in our lives and you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.